In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're going to have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pelvic PT Rising podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
Talking today about vagus nerve treatment. I know we've been talking a lot about this recently, but Nicole, that it is not just for pelvic pain. So we're going to dive into that. Before we do, the one big announcement is that today, if you're listening to this on the day it drops, is the last day to register for Nicole's Vagus Treatment Masterclass. So that doors close 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Make sure that you're doing that. Nicole, we've talked about this a lot. I had a couple of just like frequently asked questions that I wanted to run by you that we get from a couple of folks. What happens if I can't make it to the live recording of the didactic portion?
No worries. You can just watch the replay. The replay will be posted after it's processed, and you'll have access also to the pre-recorded videos on Tuesday.
Does this have hands-on techniques that I can use the next day?
Yes.
You're going to pre-record those. Is down training, the masterclass that you did, a prerequisite to this?
Ooh, this is a good question. The answer is no, although I think the down training masterclass is a really awesome class and it helps to reframe all of the three types of down training that we need to consider, of which nervous system down training is one of them. So it's a great adjunct, but it is not a prerequisite.
Okay. And the one that I think people are out there thinking, what if I already know everything there is to know about the vagus nerve and how to treat it and how to do all the clinician-focused things and all the patient-focused things? What if I already know everything about it?
Well, then don't take the course. If you have nothing to learn, don't take it. But I can guarantee you that most of you listening to this podcast are the opposite. And you're like, oh my gosh, give me more information. I don't know enough about it, which this course is also going to help you to use a lot of what you already know, just totally reframed in a different context. And I think that also is going to be very powerful. So it's not going to be only about the techniques. The techniques that we have in there are not magic, right? That you can also use whatever techniques you typically use, but we're just going to use those in a reframe of how we treat the nervous system.
Cool. So make sure if you guys want to do that, it closes tonight. You can find all the details, get registered at pelvicptrising.com/Vegas. So Nicole, let's dive in. I think a lot of times people think about when they talk about nervous system upregulation and having to calm the nervous system and vagus nerve techniques, I think we're almost always putting it in the context of pelvic pain. And I think it makes a little bit more sense to people with that. But your point here and your point with this masterclass is this is not just for pelvic pain. This is literally for just about everybody who walks into your office. Like, the nervous system matters.
Yes. And I think that when we say it like that, the nervous system matters, we all go, oh, well, duh, super obvious. But I think where we tend to think about nervous system down training, we're typically thinking about it in the context of pelvic pain because that's what's more obvious. But what's not as obvious is that somebody with prolapse and somebody with incontinence or somebody that quote unquote just has urinary urgency or overactive bladder, those people also will greatly benefit. And I would even postulate that it's necessary that we address the nervous system in those folks as well. So literally, if you have a pelvis and you have a pelvic floor and you have a nervous system, which is every human being that you could possibly treat, this area needs to be a priority for you in treating these conditions. If we take a look at just from a hierarchical standpoint, what our body prioritizes, it prioritizes, the nervous system prioritizes the abdominal pelvic contents, because that's where a lot of the viscera live. So your heart and your lungs, very obvious that those are important, but also the abdominal viscera, your stomach, your spleen, your stomach, your intestines, and the pelvic cavity organs, your uterus, your bladder, rectum, ovaries, all of those things as well. So if we know that your body and nervous system prioritize those things, and the central nervous system also prioritizes itself, being selfish that way, then we know that if somebody is having a musculoskeletal or neuromuscular issue, or essentially a hypersensitivity in the case of chronic pelvic pain, then we know that the body's like out of compensatory strategies. If we have symptoms at the pelvic floor, it usually means that there are mechanical compensations that were normally protecting those regions that are no longer serving the body. And when those alarm bells go off, where your body's like, oh shit, we're no longer able to compensate and protect this area, now there's an issue here, those alarm bells go off even more frequently with they're louder than a typical, oh, my big toe hurts type of a situation.
Yeah, I think that was a really, as you've been talking a lot about the vagus nerve and obviously putting this course together, we've been talking about it a lot, Nicole. And it was so interesting to see, as you were talking about, like, oh, that's why that happens, right? When, you know, you get people who are really frustrated or angry or really dejected or crying on the phone, I don't think that, and maybe I'm wrong, I've never worked in an ortho clinic, but I don't think that there's many people who get folks coming in crying about their ankle sprain on the phone or super frustrated about that. Like, that's a daily occurrence. Like, somebody is crying. And so when you said that, it was like, oh, that totally makes sense. Like, this is a threat response in that area. If you're having pelvic floor issues, you have a threat response. Like, how it's working, right?
Yeah, that's like how we're neurologically wired to prioritize those situations. And so, you know, we had someone call in the other day, and I was talking to one of my patient care coordinators about it. And this can manifest in a lot of different ways. And it was a daughter calling for her mom, and she was like angry. She was frustrated, angry, short, irritable. You know, my patient care coordinator said one phrase and the person just jumped down her throat about, that's not what she meant, and da 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 da, and I just need to know if you can help me, and all of that. In this case, I'm talking about the mom for the daughter, but there is a sense of, this is not a safe place anymore for you to be. And if you can imagine, if the mom is like that, then what is the daughter's environment like, right, with that co-regulation happening, or the dysregulation in the co-regulation state happening? And so it's both the actual symptom itself can be a threat response to the body, and like a, oh gosh, there's something wrong with this. This can't go on that much longer as a problem, because otherwise we die. I mean, that's the extreme thing. Your body doesn't know the difference between that. But then it's also about like the environment and the anxiety producing things that happen as a result of those symptoms as well. And I think that we need to take into consideration both of those when we are treating the whole person.
You know, and one of the things that you said about this, Nicole, that I really liked was, if you're not looking at this and if you're not addressing the nervous system component for all of your people, then you're really fighting against it. You're having to swim upstream. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, is diving into maybe some of the things that you're maybe more comfortable with, or the biomechanical stuff, or the exercises, or the stretches, or whatever it is that you're doing. But I think this goes back to like your big clinical philosophy thing: give people the ability to do what you want them to do. And if you're not doing that, then you're always fighting against this nervous system component, and you're probably not going to win.
Totally. And, you know, I want you guys to start thinking about, we've got to create essentially like this zone of safety. The nervous system loves safety. So we need to think about creating this zone of safety for your body to optimally heal and optimally respond to different stressors. So those can be mechanical stressors, those can be emotional stressors, but essentially it's our job to create this zone of safety to build resiliency in the nervous system, so that it can work optimally and it can respond optimally as well. And I think that sometimes when we take the patient's story and we immediately treat the end organ or the symptom-producing organ, then we're missing a huge part of the response system. And so just to give you one example of this, like let's say someone comes in and they are saying to you, you know, I have to pee every 2 seconds. I have a massive amount of urgency. It's causing me urgent continence. This is terrible. All the things. If we immediately go to treating the end organ, even behaviorally, right? So if we immediately go to urge suppression training techniques, that can actually become a threat to the system because we're fighting against the alarm system that your body's telling you. It's giving you an urge so you pay attention, and we're actively telling that person to ignore that urge. So I'm not a huge fan of urge suppression training, and especially not outside of the context of nervous system, addressing the nervous system first. It really is important because we have to create that nervous system zone of safety so that the urge doesn't become the threat. And we're not just ignoring the threat, which is going to make the threat louder. That's essentially what we're doing when we're doing this like blanket urge suppression training prescription. So we have to address the underlying nervous system response, create a zone of safety for it, and then we can pile on interventions. But then we've created an environment where your nervous system can both work and your musculoskeletal system can then work and your neuromuscular system can work and respond optimally. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to just diminish an urge. An urge is a normal part of what we need for proper bladder functioning. So just to simply ignore it is not helpful. And it's certainly not very stabilizing for that person's entire being.
So what does it look like, Nicole, if you're treating somebody and they're not in this zone of safety, right? You're doing all of the quote unquote right things. You've taken the courses, you're doing the right techniques, whatever those are, urge suppression training or manual therapy or biofeedback, if you're into that kind of thing, right? Whatever that is. So you're doing all of the right interventions, but the patient isn't in this, you know, nervous system zone of safety that you're talking about. Like, what does that actually look like?
So it can look like the symptoms are going away within the session, but then they're coming right back. So this is the person that's like, oh my gosh, I feel so amazing. And then 24 hours later, they're like, oh my gosh, well, I felt great for a while and now my symptoms are back. And that can be something, it doesn't have to be pain, right? It can be incontinence, for instance, or urgency or whatever it is. This is somebody that, quote, all of the sudden starts to flare, or their flares become more unpredictable, which is essentially your body's way of saying like, well, we used to flare in relation to this pelvic issue, and now I'm just going to try to make you pay attention all the time. So we're going to flare at random times because y'all aren't paying attention to what I try to tell you to do. So it's going to try a different way to get you to prioritize nervous system and organ-based stuff. So people that are flaring, if the symptoms start to shift, if they either start to be in a different location, that can be indicative that you are not operating in this zone of safety where your body's like basically trying to compensate in different ways. So it's sort of failed at the original compensation. The problem isn't going away, or it's going away intermittently. And so your body is like trying like a last ditch effort to compensate, and that might cause another type of symptom. Or honestly, it just takes longer than it could or it should. If you're like, man, what is really going on? Like, I know I'm on the right track, but I just can't get something to stick. That is another just little yellow flag or like a little ding, 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 ding that you are potentially not optimizing the nervous system foundation for this zone of safety for your body to be optimally healing.
So now, I think this is interesting too, Nicole. So that makes a ton of sense. So if you guys are experiencing that with some of your patients, maybe looking at it through this lens is going to be really helpful. But nobody comes in the door being like, wow, my nervous system, Nicole, is so dysregulated. I really need your help getting this central nervous system issue under control. My sympathetic nervous system, whew, it is going crazy.
Right. Have you ever seen any of your patients talk like that? Not really. And if they do, then it's because they've read something online about it and they're even interpreting that incorrectly, right? So it's not something that somebody is going to come and ask you for help with. It's something that a lot of times people don't even realize is related to their symptoms. And this can look very, this can be very difficult to talk to people about if you're not setting it up in the right way as well, because you can't have somebody that has like sort of no knowledge about how the nervous system is playing a role in their healing and then immediately start talking about the nervous system. Like, we just can't do that. We have to tap into other things that are more familiar to them in order to get them to sort of essentially buy into the fact that we're going to treat this way first. Because remember, treating at the nervous system level is sometimes treating pretty far away from where their symptoms are. And so we can't just all of a sudden start doing some of the techniques that I'm going to teach you in the Vagus Nerve Masterclass, which is a lot of stuff up at the neck, when someone's like, I'm coming in here for burning vaginal pain or urinary urgency. What the hell are you doing? You have to be able to create context for the interventions that you're doing.
Okay, so let me play devil's advocate and push back a little bit and see kind of what your thinking is. But I'm sure there's maybe some people out there who are saying, you know, Nicole, that's all great in theory, and this is, but incontinence, right? We're talking about incontinence. This isn't really that complex. I got to strengthen their pelvic floor so that their pelvic floor, you know, can activate when they step off of a curb. Why should I even really be paying attention to the nervous system in that, right? I mean, isn't this just a biomechanical problem that we have, or constipation, right? All we need is some colon massage. We get that stuff moving. Like, why are we worried about like, oh, this like central nervous system stuff, instead of like, hey, just biomechanically, let's like fix this like we're an engineer.
It's like you're missing the why. You're missing the control mechanism of that, though. You're missing like the mainframe computer glitch that's going to always create a downstream output that's faulty. That's what you'd be missing. So we can jerry-rig something together. We can do colon massage. And I'm not saying colon massage is not good. And in fact, it can be super helpful. But that's a mechanical intervention, especially if it's not done in like the brawly kind of visceral way, right? Because colon massage itself is a little bit different than, you know, actually doing visceral mobilization to the colon. So you can mechanically induce peristaltic activity of the colon, but if the nervous system is constantly giving, is giving like continuous input about not just what the colon's doing, but the other pieces of the environment of the entire organism, then you're going to be missing that upstream mainframe computer that's controlling and giving messages down to the visceral system. And so you're always going to be fighting against that then. And that's where I really feel like it needs to be both and. We both need to make sure that we have the musculoskeletal, neuromuscular, mechanical, biomechanical, kinesiological ability of your body to do what we're asking it to do, and also create an environment that's going to optimize healing from a neuroendocrine perspective, from a neuroinflammatory perspective, from a nervous system perspective, and both are important.
It's actually fun to see you put all of this together into this Vagus Nerve Masterclass and talking about it a little bit more, because it's giving me these aha moments, because I now have heard you training our therapists and talking to them about difficult cases for a long time now, and I can almost predict what you're going to say most of the time. But when we have a difficult patient or somebody who's not getting better as fast as they should or symptoms that are stubborn or lingering, your questions almost always go to stuff that is nervous system related. Like, that's the first place your mind goes. It's not, have you tried this different hip mob?
Right. It's not like, oh my gosh, you probably missed this trigger point, that very much in quotes, of the pelvic floor. Like, that's not what's creating the persistence of a pelvic floor symptom. It might be the thing that's most easy to touch, but it certainly isn't the thing that's perpetuating those persistent symptoms. And so it's not about a hip mob. It's not about a muscle release technique. It's about how your environment, and I'm talking about like external environment and internal nervous system environment, is feeling, and does it have a zone of safety that it can operate in? And is that zone of safety narrow or is it wide? And what can we do to widen that zone of safety so that there's resilience in the system. And remember too, that the nervous system autonomic response is not binary. It's not your sympathetic nervous system is either on or off and your parasympathetic nervous system is either on or off. That's not how it works. So we need the sympathetic nervous system to activate and respond. We just don't need it to be overactive. And we also need the parasympathetic nervous system to respond. And we don't need that system to be overactive. And so when you start to think about these things, not just as a binary on-off switch and not one that is related to the other. So just because your sympathetic nervous system is on doesn't mean your parasympathetic nervous system isn't working. Like all of that stuff needs to get debunked in our brains for us to really look at our patient through a different lens. And that's what I'm really excited about this course on. And that's what I think we need to reframe. And that's frankly what I think has been missing in all of our education. And we oversimplify what's happening in the nervous system so that we start to intervene in incorrect ways and then wonder why it's not working. Right. And then we blame the patient for it. And then it's all fucked up. Right. So this is a good example of like, let's like take a step back. And some that's how some of these masterclasses come about. It's like, hold on a second. I'm seeing way too much oversimplification of something that's probably one of the more complex systems in our body. It's not just for people with pelvic pain. It's something that we have to address for literally every human being that we see come through our doors. And if we can change the lens at which we look at our patients, then we can start to intervene in ways that are going to create an environment that's going to be optimally responding so that then any neuromuscular or musculoskeletal or biomechanical intervention that we do is going to stick better and faster and longer.
Awesome. So if you guys are interested and want to learn more and you haven't signed up yet, make sure that you do. You can find that masterclass at pelvicptrising.com/Vegas. More details in the show notes as well. But thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys on that masterclass. As always, we want to keep this conversation going.
And let's continue to rise.